are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Radio show. I am your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and content creator. And I am believing this will be a motivational experience. My intent is to empower, inspire, motivate, and equip. We broadcast the beauties of beginnings by sharing God's promises through personal stories. And if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to OMG. We hope you become a long-time listener. And for those of you that have been rolling with me for a while, thanks for adding such sweetness to my hot tea. So tonight's topic, we're going to break it down because I've decided instead of talking about COVID-19 and the coronavirus, I'm going to be the anti-COVID virus. I'm actually going to find out from you guys what you've been up to, meaning ideas, inventory, discovery, essentials, and stuff, meaning what is it that you have discovered about yourself during this staycation, this isolation, this quarantine that wasn't taking place before? Are there some things that you've learned about yourself or some things that you've enjoyed doing that you can't live without? Are there some things that you realize, you know what, I haven't had this for the whole time that we've been staying in, and I don't miss it. So I want to find out from you guys. I want you to kind of do a little talk back, tap back, checks back, chat back, and let me know if there are some things that you've discovered during this isolation period, this social distancing time frame, that you realize, you know what, I don't necessarily need to go to the grocery store four times a week, or, you know, I don't have to spend the money for a gym because I have created a workout routine in my living room or in my bedroom or in my basement. So I'm curious to find out what you guys have been doing in order to, you know, A, keep your sanity, but B, what are some of the things that you've discovered that you can live without, that you can do without, that you can function without? I know that during this time, you know, I've been busy, very, very busy. Our church went online, and so I'm kind of heading up and making sure that we're doing everything we need to do to keep that presence online and creating content. I'm pregnant with possibility and pregnant with content, and so my church has been the beneficiary of it because I got to give this out. I got to let this go. And so some of the things that I've realized is, in doing this work, living on a computer and editing a lot and coming up with content ideas, I've realized that there are some TV shows that I haven't been able to watch that, you know, I've been living without them. And when I work out to a TV show, they're not necessarily the shows that I was watching pre, you know, social distancing, pre COVID-19. So I realized there are some shows that I needed to kind of recycle, you know, kind of coming in and out of some TV shows. But I also realized that I have been enjoying reading articles versus watching television. I am watching the news quite a bit. I used to work for the news station, so I think that's just in my DNA. But I also, when I'm watching the news, it's kind of in the background and I'm doing my work, which has kind of helped me. So I'm curious, are there some things that you guys have given up? Somebody says cutting back on grocery shopping, just staying grateful. Yes, staying grateful, oh my goodness, that has kept me. That has been a definite staple in my pantry of peace. That's it. That's good. That has been a definite staple in my pantry called peace, because if you stay grateful, I was reminding a couple of friends earlier today, I do a prayer call every morning, and one of the things that I was saying is, you know, if you lose yourself, you can get caught up in all of the stuff going around, and it's busy, and it's chaotic, and it's depressing, and you're hearing about loss of life, and you're seeing our frontline workers suffering. It can do a number on not just your head and your heart, but your psyche, and you won't even realize that it's affecting you. And so a great way to kind of keep your peace is to start counting your blessings. A great way to keep your peace is to start counting your blessings. Start thinking about all the things that you're grateful for, the things that no outside circumstance can you know, take from you, your joy, your love, your family, your friendships. Those things are invaluable. There's no price tag on it. So when I started thinking about the idea of things that I haven't been doing, you know, I was grocery shopping at least once, maybe twice, actually once a week, and then I'd run to the store to pick up one or two items because I forgot something. Don't miss that. Don't miss the lines in the grocery store or having to search for all the items that I need. I also don't miss running errands as frequently as I had been. I have a P.O. box. I've always had a P.O. box. I'm kind of picky like that because I travel a lot and I like my mail to be safe. And although we live in a very safe neighborhood, when I'm traveling, I want to make sure that when I get back, everything is there, including my checks. So I go to the post office a lot when I'm not on this, maybe every other day, because there's always something there. Plus, I'm a social butterfly, and I love my postal workers. Shout out to Janet. Shout out to Faith. Shout out to Marquita. Those are my girls. I love them. And so when I go, I'm, you know, conversing with them, and we're playing catch up. But I do not miss going to the post office as often as I have been. I don't miss eating out as frequently as I have been. I cook a lot. I cook probably 3-4 days a week. But during this, I've been making, like, you know, bulk things, and then we can kind of chew on those and eat on those, and they'll last us a little bit. So during this process, I've realized there are some things that I could do without. I could do without the freaking running, and I could do without all the visits. You know, I love my mother dearly. But during this spell, I haven't been over there as much. I, of course, check on her all the time, but I haven't been dropping by as frequently as I would be before all of this, for obvious reasons. You know, I'm still recording. We still have a few people that kind of come to the space to record, only one person at a time, but still, my parents are in their late 80s, so I try to make sure that, you know, I'm good to keep them good. So that's another great thing. And then also, what are some of the essentials you guys have figured out that you can't do without? Okay, so I can't do without heat when it's cold. I can't do without AC when it's hot. But what are some of the other things that you've realized that during this time frame you can't do without? You know, a lot of parents are finding out that they're spending an enormous amount of time with their children. They have never, matter of fact, I was talking with some girlfriends the other day, and they were like, you know, I've never been with my children 24 hours a day for multiple days unless we were on vacation, which is actually the case for most people. You not have to be with your spouse 24 hours a day unless you're on vacation. And so there are some things that I've realized that are essential. Earbuds for music and conversation, and space. You know, my spouse likes to go to our home theater, and so he'll spend a lot of time in the home theater or in his downstairs study, and I spend a lot of time on the main level because this is where my computer is and my studio set up, and so I'm always editing or doing some kind of project. So I can't live without my computer. I can't live without my studio equipment. I can't live without my mobile device. But there's some other stuff that I haven't picked up in a lot. I haven't sat at my desk in my actual office since this started, or since a week after this started. I moved my computer downstairs, and it has served me well. I don't know that I'll keep it here post this social distancing situation, but for now, it's a different workspace. I feel like I'm coming to work, even though y'all know I've been self-employed since 1990, yeah. So that's been a blessing to be able to log on and do what I need to do here. So are there some things that you've realized that you can't do without that are essential? So I did the I is inventory. You take inventory stock of some of the things you like, some of the things you don't like, some of the things you're doing, some of the things you stopped doing. And then, of course, discovering what are the things that you don't necessarily need around anymore, some of the things you don't necessarily have to have. Also, if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-324-5246. Press the number 1. And you'll be entered. You'll be entered into a queue. One of my friends said he can't do without his knives. I'm assuming you can't do without the knives. Those are essentials. He's a chef, so having his knives is a thing that he has to have. Absolutely, positively. Oh, speaking of things you can't do without in the kitchen, I discovered smoked paprika. Y'all don't hear me. Now, those of you who are hip to smoked paprika, it's nothing to you because you've been hip to it for a while. But I discovered smoked paprika, and it has changed my life. Oh, my gosh. All of my roasted vegetables, all of my roasted everything are always I'm putting smoked paprika on them, of course, with my sea salt and or my cayenne pepper or whatever else. But smoked paprika is pretty much on all of my dishes. Even when I eat avocados, I'm putting smoked paprika. Even if I grill them, yes, the chef says yes. My girlfriend Leslie says yes. Somebody else says cell phone. Cell phone, does that mean that you, oh, that's basically it. That's all that person needs is their cell phone. Yeah, I know. You got to have it. Smoked salt. I've never heard of smoked salt. Someone just said, two people just said smoked sea salt. Oh, snap. I'm putting that on the list. Smoked sea salt. I am going to make sure that I get some smoked sea salt. Never even heard of it, but I promise you, the next time we go to the market, not soon, but the next time we go to the market, I'm going to get me some smoked sea salt. Definitely going to try that. So once I found out that smoked paprika was the jam, oh, and it goes so well on so many things. I also started cooking more, and I realized that I can't do without the internet because I wanted to create things that I had never created. So I started Googling different recipes. We've been on a fast since, I don't know, it started about 3 weeks ago, and it ends tomorrow. Today is a no food day, so we're just beverage. I'm just on my orange juice, water. I've been drinking water and tea all day, but I decided to have orange juice. Yes, smoked paprika is life-changing. It really is. And so during this fast, I've been searching for different recipes. So I went to this little deli called Bizio's in, I don't think it's Country Club Hill. I think it's Flossmoor or Homewood. It may be Homewood. I get all the different suburban towns mixed up. But this place called Bizio's made this soup called lemon rice soup. It is so good. And so I searched for a recipe. Actually, theirs is, I think, lemon chicken rice, but we couldn't eat meat on this last part of our fast. So, of course, I, you know, substituted, didn't do the chicken, just did a regular vegetable broth. But it is so delicious. It's a lemon rice soup, and a very, very tasty. So I've discovered a couple of things that I would not have probably tried. And I've been experimenting a lot with Homewood Flossmoor. Perfect. Thank you. Someone just shared with me where Bizio's is, Homewood Flossmoor. And so I've been trying different recipes, different soups. I usually do 15 bean soup. Do y'all know when I went to the store to do my bulk grocery shopping for the lockdown, all the 15 bean soup packages were gone. All of the 15 bean soup packages were gone. I was so disappointed. And the red beans were gone. Couldn't make, you know, chili from scratch. I couldn't. It was like, the kidney beans, all of them just gone. I was like, okay, what did I do? I missed it. I missed the cutoff point for when you were supposed to go shopping. I got my toilet paper though, and people were blessing me with toilet paper. That's a whole nother story. But I realized I couldn't make my go-to. Like, 15 bean soup can last this house. We can keep that jam around for a good, you know, 4 or 5 days. And didn't have that. The lemon rice soup, kind of after 3 or 4 days, it's gone. 2 or 3 days, I'm sorry, it's gone. And then I made a couple of other soups. I can't even recall. I've made several because this last week and a half was soups. Are there some more things that you can't live without, or some things that you found out are definitely essential? Let me know what they are. Oh, somebody said they got one. Does that mean I get to have that one that you got? Are you telling me you're going to give me the 15 bean soup? Tell me if that's what you mean, because I will make arrangements to come to get my 15 bean soup, because I really enjoy that soup. It's a good stocky soup, although our fast ends tomorrow, so I guess it won't be I don't have to stay on the soup trajectory, because, of course, I'll be able to eat regular food after tomorrow. I think at noon, I believe, is when it ends. There's quite a few Vernon Park people on this listening to the show, so if somebody can tell me, I believe it ends at noon tomorrow. I have the schedule in the kitchen, but I didn't look at it today because I knew we couldn't eat, so I just knew no food, just water for the most part. So excited about the fasting, but let me get back to my conversation. So what have you learned that you can live without? Have you picked up any new hobbies or habits? You know, is there anything that you can't? The daughter says she can't live without Chinese food. Somebody's daughter can't live without Chinese food. That's cute. I like Chinese food, but I like cooking my own Chinese food. I have this fresh crab fried rice dish that I make, and I also make a General Tso chicken, but I make it with cauliflower instead of meat. So I make my own Chinese food. I haven't been to a Chinese food restaurant, I don't even know how long it's been, because I like making my own. And now I just got a recipe for fried cauliflower, stir-fried cauliflower. So watch me make that. 2 heads of cauliflower, you stir-fry them with like a teaspoon or two of oil. I don't know how this turned into a cooking show. That's because I'm hungry. Oh, my gosh. It's because I'm hungry. I'm hungry. That's really what it is. I'm hungry. Okay, somebody else just chimed in and said, I really miss the gym. It's where I decompress. Yeah, a lot of people have said that they really miss the gym, but quite a few people in Chicago that I've personally talked to said they were missing the gym, but then they realized going outside, they missed going outside and breathing in the fresh air and taking long walks with greenery around them, or jogging past trees, or discovering new parks and new trails. And so sometimes getting out of that routine of steel and metal and a closed environment can kind of open you up to nature, you know. So I get that people can miss going to the gym, but it's also pretty good to kind of be able to take nature in and inhale some of this fresh air. A new habit in this season, communing with nature. Yes, that's what I was just talking about, communing with nature, enjoying looking at the beauty of God in nature. Oh my gosh, he's dope anyway. God is so dope. But when you look outside and you think, just 3 weeks ago, there was just brown dirt and now there's grass, or you look at trees and the leaves are beginning to fill in, you look at that and you go, wow, God, you know, if he would allow grass to grow from deadness into full life, and trees to bloom and bud and flowers to begin to come out again, truly he's not playing a cruel trick on us. When things are going bad, or it's taking a little bit longer than we thought it would, God isn't building a stairway to no place. He's working it out. He's perfecting you. He's strengthening you. And through our trials, tribulations, and disappointments is how he gets to remind us that, hey, I'm there in that, especially I'm walking with you. I never leave you. And when you come out of this, you'll be armed to be able to encourage other people. So those are some of the amazing things about going through these different seasons. I can look at nature and be reminded instantly of what's really important. Because, I mean, now granted, they don't have to work to grow outside. They don't have to work for their leaves to bud, but they're doing what they were purposed to do. So as long as we do what we are purposed to do, the things that are supposed to come from that will come from that, not a minute or a day sooner. But we have to be about our purpose, the things that we're supposed to be doing. So are there any things that you've found out that you were new habits or new hobbies? You know, that was where I kind of left off. Are there some new habits or hobbies that you've discovered? Maybe you're eating more because you're at home more, or some, for some people, they're not moving as much because they're at home. So before, they used to get up, get dressed, go to walk to the car, and then, you know, or walk to the train or the bus station, and then they would, you know, go to work, or they'd walk from the train station to their job, or they would walk through the building at their job, or they'd go lunch from their job. And so they were realizing that they were, you know, maybe moving more, and perhaps staying at home in a smaller space than an office building has afforded you to either gain a few pounds or be more sedentary or just lazy. I don't know. So I don't know. There's another person that chimed in and says, I'm finally going to start a garden with the kids. Oh, that's awesome. I brought some flowers and some vegetable seeds. Mind you, no plant has ever survived. This person says, mind you, no plant has ever survived under my care. Please pray for me. I am saying a prayer for a supernatural green thumbs to pop up. I don't have that ministry either. I'm not going to lie. All the plants in our home, and we have big plants. You can see one right behind me, those that are watching on Facebook Live. My husband takes care of the plants. He's able to keep them alive. If they were under my watch, they would have all probably been dead. I can take care of roses and lilies, the fresh flowers, please. I'm washing them off and rinsing out the vases. I can take care of my fresh flowers. They seem like they last 10, 12 days under my watch, but give me a plant and some dirt. First of all, I don't like playing in dirt. Never liked playing in dirt. And so that's not something that I'm gifted at. And so they never quite hang around. Plants don't hang around. But I want to chime in on what you said about starting the garden and growing some things with the kids. I think that's an outstanding idea. I think, you know, there was a meme that somebody sent earlier today, and it said something like, you know, you're upset because someone is out at the grocery store and you want them to stay home, but you may not realize that this person, it wasn't that. They said something to the effect of this, you're upset because somebody is picking up a new habit like gardening, but what you don't realize is maybe they used to have bad habits like smoking or drinking, and gardening helps them realize that something good can grow, and they get to nurture something good. And so whenever I hear about people gardening or doing anything in the dirt, my mother loves to garden, and we have a farm at our church called Mother Carr's Farm, and it's so peaceful out there, and the fruit, the produce, everything is so fresh. The produce, the honey that you get, everything is just so delicious, and you can tell the difference between a tomato at Mother Carr's Farm, fully organic, than you can buying it in a regular grocery store. You can tell the difference between the collard greens or the kale or the Swiss chard. It's just much more flavorful, and it's, of course, fresh because they're pulling it like the day before we actually have it distributed. And so those are some of the things that I appreciate about it. Someone else just chimed in and says, I can't live without organization, and my life is so happy as I've been able to tackle my office and some other important areas. Yes, a lot of people are doing that. Matter of fact, we had somebody taping at our house the other day, and they said that their wife had them cleaning out the study or the den or something because it was all cluttered. But this is a good time to do that. It's a great time to decompress and declutter, because the hour that you were spending driving to work, or 30 minutes, and the hour that you were spending, you know, coming home, or 30 minutes coming home, or the time that you were spending running all these errands, you now have a surplus of time to be able to do some productive things, maybe read a good book, some things like that. Someone else said, that's funny, same here. My husband takes care of the plants. Yeah, I don't have a green thumb. I sure don't. Oh, my goodness, it's just not. It's all bad. Someone else said, I purchased flower seeds and vegetable seeds months ago while thrifting, had forgotten all about them, going to do my first garden as well. Excellent, excellent. Nothing is better than watching something grow. I think that is therapeutic. It feeds and fuels the nurturing aspect of people. And you get to put something in your body that's going to give you way more back than you put into the dirt, you know. I think those are always a good thing. I wish I had learned to garden, not that I couldn't. Again, I just don't like playing in dirt. So fortunately, we have a farm at the church so that I don't have to play in the dirt. But shout out to Tony and crew, because y'all are like amazing. Can't wait till our produce starts growing so that we can partake in that. So anybody else want to share anything on what you learned you can't live without? What are some of the things you can't live without? And also to that, what are some of the things you realize, I'm cool, I don't need that, I don't have to have that. No, I thought I did, but I don't. Or I thought I had to go to this place, but I don't. You know, some people who were going to the gym realize they can work out at home and it saves them more time and they're much more productive in doing it. They realize, hey, they were spending money to go to the gym, but being at home, they don't have to spend as much time packing the bag, driving to the gym, then, of course, paying the money and then coming back home. So they've discovered that their home gym is a lot more useful to them, or going outside in nature, as somebody else had chimed in a little bit earlier. So let me know if there's some things you can't live without, and let me know if there's some things that you got to have. I've got to have this, or I've got to have that, like I just shared smoked paprika. It's one of those things I've got to have, and now I'm going to get smoked sea salt because I'm going to probably have to have that too. I also realized that this radio show, OMG, the Omar Gale radio show, shout out and a plug to where you can catch it. If you don't catch it live, you can catch it via podcast on iHeart Radio, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher app, as well as Apple Music. This radio show has been a lifeline for me as well. On Thursdays, to be able to be invited into people's homes, living rooms, cars, kitchens, wherever they happen to be when they are listening to the show, has been a blessing to me. And to be able to use my gifts to encourage, equip, inspire, create dialogue and interact with you has been a joy during this COVID-19 quarantine and isolation and social distance and, you know, all the titles that this particular season has for us. Although I loved doing my show pre all of this, it has been, and I'm so grateful that my executive producer has afforded me an opportunity to go live and do the show so that I can interact with people via social media in addition to my regular radio audience, because I feel closer to you even though, you know, we're not able to physically be together. Someone chimed in and said they absolutely need, absolutely not. I need the gym, they're saying. So they can't do the whole stay at home, work out at home, or just walk in nature. They absolutely have to have the gym. They needed the gym. That's an essential. And the word that I chose today was ideas, and it was an acronym. The acronym is inventory, discovery, essentials, and stuff. So let's unpack the stuff. What's some of the stuff that you've figured out during this social distancing, you know, stay home, quarantine, COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want to call all of this? What is some of the stuff you've learned about yourself? Getting along with your kids, interacting with your spouse. Have you learned some stuff about you that you dislike? Are you being able to look in a mirror at some of the ways you respond or react to something? Has your fuse gotten shorter or smaller? Are you snapping more, or have you increased your patience? Have you figured out a way to put your oxygen mask on even when the kids are running around the house or laundry's piling up or you've got work to do and you don't have a quiet space to do it? What's some of the stuff you've kind of figured out or discovered in the midst of us being on this this Rona, stay in the home situation? Talk back to me. Let me know what you've been feeling. And also you can call in at 347-324-5246 All you have to do is press 1 and you'll be entered into a queue. I'm just double checking to see if there were any calls that came in. Okay. You'll be entered into a queue. So the number again is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into a queue. And for those that are on social media, you can merely chat me some of the stuff you've discovered. Have you been short, impatient with your significant other or your kids? Have you realized how important the teachers are to the scheme of your life? Because having your kids all day, every day, and not having that window of break where you either go to work and they go to school, where somebody else is handling your kids, have you discovered that your teachers are, well, I think a lot of people know teachers are underpaid, but have you discovered that you really want to become an advocate to help them earn more money because you've realized the job that they're doing is so incredibly valuable? I mean, I remember when I had my little kids and I was trying to, you know, work with them on the homework that would come home, and I was like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? They're doing a whole new kind of new math, and there were things that I must have learned when I was younger, but I promise you, I just didn't recall. I felt like Bill Clinton. I do not recall, or somebody else. I do not recall. Just I couldn't recall. I couldn't remember. I couldn't pull it back up. If it weren't for the internet, I wouldn't have even been able to help the kids with homework, because their homework was like Japanese to me, and I never studied Japanese. So there's that. So how many of you guys have figured out that there's some stuff? Okay, someone else said, I am more observant. I am more observant of the things I have and the things I am letting go of. That's very good. There's a TV show on Netflix with a person called Marie Kondo, I believe is her name, and she's like, find joy. Ding! So she ends up when you're going through your clothes or your closet trying to declutter, or you're going through your office or your living room or wherever your space is that's most cluttered, you go through the things, and if you touch something and it doesn't spark joy, if it doesn't bring you joy, then there should be piles. There's one pile to keep. If it brings you joy, that should be in the keep pile. If it doesn't bring you joy and there's no attachment, or there's, and when I say attachment, not for the hoarders, because you are attached to everything, but if there's no significant purpose for it, put it in the, you know, giveaway pile or the trash pile. But one of the great things about finding joy in things that you touch is ensuring that your home rises to meet you, ensuring that your bedroom rises to meet you. And if you can set that kind of a sanctuary, it actually fosters better sleep. It fosters productivity. It fosters better health, because your mind isn't cluttered and you're not confused about different things. Another person chimed in and said, it created a link because of something you said, but it says, I can't live without my kids nor our puppy. They have kept me laughing, especially creating their own separate room, saying things like, I just need a few days away from him. My daughter is a little mama, but they're like, When you go back to school, the teachers have been thebomb.com. They have challenged the boys via virtual classroom, and Nay is used to it. She's talking about her daughter. Those are the blessings that come out of this. You know, the teachers that are interacting with the kids via the computer, they've totally rearranged how they approach things. And, you know, a half of the teachers, you know, game plan is to be able to engage with the kids, and sometimes that's face to face. But it's really good that they've figured out a way to keep them engaged and to keep them interactive and growing via their computers. And now I sometimes think about the kids, especially during this. I sometimes think about the kids that do not own a computer, don't own a laptop, don't own an iPad, don't own a cell phone, don't own a tablet, and they're out of school. And they're possibly not learning because they can't go to the library, which is maybe where they were getting their Wi-Fi before. And so there's a lot of people that are, you know, kind of falling by the wayside during this whole situation that were already, you know, lacking resources, either because their school happens to be in the wrong zip code, or, you know, some teachers or the community doesn't foster, or the, I shouldn't say the community, the board or the school system doesn't foster their particular school the way that they do other schools. And you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that. And so there are some kids who, and some parents who are essential employees, and the kids are at home and they don't have a laptop, a computer, or a phone to be able to do their homework. And the parent, you know, is driving public transportation or working at Walmart or Dollar General. They're in some, you know, some job that they have to be there and may not have the finances to get their kids and things. So those are some of the things that cross my mind during this time. As you know, of course, I've got my computer, I've got a laptop and my iPad and my cell phone, and I think about the kids that just don't have it. So are there some other things that you realize you either can't do without, or some stuff that you've discovered about yourself that you realize, I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize that could evoke, you know, or provoke me to lash out or say something that I wish I could take back, you know. So those are good things to kind of just assess, you know, do inventory. What are some of the things you're learning during this season about yourself? What are some of the things you've learned about how you're interacting with employers and coworkers? You know, a lot of people are doing Zoom. Oh, my gosh, there was this funny video. A young lady was doing Zoom. And, you know, you're used to talking on your cell phone with your friend. And so this person was on the Zoom call. She's talking to the people. There's like 9 people in the Zoom call. There's 3 men, and she's a woman. And the person was explaining something. And she's walking through our house. And I see her walking through our house. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, she's just walking through our house. All of a sudden, she goes into the restroom. And she begins to relieve herself before she realizes they are watching her. And so she immediately, of course, moves the phone. And the ladies on the call were just about to, you know, they were calling her name out, trying to get her attention so that she wouldn't start to relieve herself. And so the guys were like, I didn't see anything. I didn't see a thing. But has anything like that happened to you where, you know, you're on a call with your boss or your employee and you realize, oh, my goodness, I just said something to my kids or to my husband that I shouldn't have said, or I didn't mean for them to hear me say that, or the tone or volume in which you spoke to somebody in the home was overheard by your boss or your coworkers. Have anything like that happened to you? Someone else just chimed in and says, I'm personally learning more about Zoom and becoming more comfortable with it. I love Zoom. I've been using Zoom for years. And I also used to use a thing called a peer in, but now it's called Whereby or Where Something. But it's a great phone chat kind of a thing where you get to see the person that you're talking to. You could set up your own room. It used to be a peer.in. If you Google that, it'll tell you what the new name is. It's Whereabout or Whereby. And all you have to do is you put your name. It's like it used to be a peer.in/Mara Gale. That would be my room. And then I'd send that link out and people could just meet me in the room and join the conversation. And also I could share my screen. If I've written a scene of something or created a lyric to a song, I could interact with people. And so that's another really cool service, kind of like Zoom. She should have put it on mute. No. It wasn't just the sound. It was the video. She should have left the phone outside of the room when she went to relieve herself. But, you know, people are in the habit of just doing what you normally do. And so she was just going about her normal business and forgot she was on a video. just forgot she was on a video. I mean, how many times have you guys went to the restroom at the airport and people are having full-on conversations while commodes are flushing and people are relieving themselves? I don't know what that is. Like, there is no conversation that important to me that I got to take you in the airport or, you know, to relieve myself. I just don't have that urgency to do that. Now, that may be somebody else's thing. That's just not my thing. I'm a germaphobe. So in my mind, it's like I'm holding my phone. I got, no, that's just not going to work for me. So I try to stay away from that. Someone else said, what did they say? I started weekly Zoom meetings with immediate family. Oh, and national family meetings just this week. It really helped. That's smart. That's really good. Our family is not all on Zoom. They couldn't even get with GroupMe, so that's not going to happen. Someone else says, yes, my husband walked into the camera while I was on Zoom conference call discussing some union business. He was stripped out of his clothes. He said he wasn't dressed, but he ran away quickly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How? Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine what that was like. I mean, I can imagine, but not imagine. Yeah, because people aren't used to you working with video calls. You know, they're used to you being on a phone or going to the office. So I'm sure those things are pretty novel, not to bite novel coronavirus, but, you know, they're new. These are new things we're getting used to. Have you guys discovered any new norms? Although nothing about what's going on is normal, but have you fallen into a rhythm of some of the things that are, you know, I like doing this every day, or I like waking up and having my cup of coffee or tea, looking outside, or, you know, I like playing jazz before I get my day started, or I like winding down to the Calm app or meditation music. Have you found or discovered some little nuggets or new habits or new hobbies that have fostered a sense of peace when everything is kind of going chaotic and crazy, and you're watching the counter and the numbers go up, and it can do a number on you? So are there some things that you're doing to counteract those things? I'm interested because I constantly get calls from people who are just having a hard time dealing with the amount of loss and of life and death all around them, and things that I can't control. I cannot do anything about. I just, I know they're there, and I pray for people, and I pray for the sick, and I pray for our frontline workers. And that includes the healthcare workers, as well as EMT and cops and firemen, as well as postal workers and grocery store workers and the essential stores, you know, all of those. I pray for people, but I cannot bring back anybody. I cannot heal supernaturally people from the COVID virus, especially I'm not even in the room with people. No one's able to really be with them but the medical team. But I'm curious of what you're doing to defrag, to you know, kind of wipe all of the film of this virus, the film of the toll that it's taken on our country, the taste of all of the loss of life that has taken place. I'm curious to find out if there are things that you're doing. I do a morning prayer call Monday through Friday. And it's every day, rain, snow, sleet, holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, it doesn't matter. We do this call, and it starts at about 6:30 and it runs sometimes till 8:30. And most people don't have 2 hours to give, but it's the best part of my day. Spending time with God, studying God's word. So meditating, praying, reading his word is definitely some things I cannot do without. Someone else just chimed in. That's beautiful. Every morning I go to the front porch to inhale and exhale fresh air. That's free. Don't cost you a penny to inhale and exhale fresh air. It also is a rich reminder of why you should be grateful that you're not being assisted with an oxygen machine. It is also a rich reminder to take in some of what God has given you for free today. And I heard someone who's a COVID, they were a COVID patient. It was actually on our prayer call. Pastor Farrell shared that his sister, who had fought valiantly, Faye is her name, and she was saying how she was thanking God that it was hard for her to breathe in, but thanking God with each breath because she had to pray for her next breath. And so she was thanking him for each breath because she was praying that she would have her next breath. It was a really bad situation, and most people don't get to come off of those ventilators, but she did. Someone else says, I discovered I can make my own sanitizer spray. Yes, you can. Hand sanitizer and even Chinese food. Just need to perfect it. Yeah. Best way to make your own sanitizer, hand sanitizer is, I think it's one part aloe vera gel, two parts alcohol, and You can put a little essential oil in it if you wanted to have a fragrance. But whatever alcohol you use, make sure it's 65% or more in order for it to be most effective against the virus. Someone else said, I love the flexibility and to be able to stop and enjoy self time while I am home. I have to sometimes refrain from watching the daily news to avoid possible depression and constant sadness. Yeah, that's a lot of people. A lot of people fight that. And if that is, if that's a fight for you on the regular, you definitely need to defrag from it. You definitely need to unplug and disconnect from it, because some things wear on people like clothes. And then other people are able to compartmentalize. I worked in the news for a few years, and as a result of that, I understand that it can go in certain places. It doesn't lay on me like clothes do. It just kind of goes in. I process, and then I'm able to continue moving on. It doesn't stay with me throughout the day, nor does bad news or death or loss of life. I mourn people, but I mourn them in a different way, because I truly do not just understand to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, but I'm always grateful when someone has went on, especially when they're sick or unhealthy, because to me, it's like, you know, we'll put a horse to rest so they won't suffer, and or a dog or a cat or something so they won't suffer. And when people are suffering, that's painful to watch. And most of the time we're trying to keep them around for us, which to me is kind of selfish sometimes. But that's just me and my take. Someone else says, I pray more often for life and family, and I reach out to those family members to whom I haven't spoken to on a daily basis. That's very good. When working and have such a busy life, these things were taken for granted. Very good point. How many of us took so many things for granted? I mean, we took going to the grocery store for granted. We took pumping gas at a gas pump for granted. We took being able to breathe without, you know, the assistance of anything. I mean, to know that we can all, we've conformed to the point that we're wearing masks outside and gloves and trying our best not to touch things, people opening up doors with their jacket or their sleeves, or, you know, watching us adapt to this new norm that isn't normal is an extremely interesting phenomenon, because it shows me that we are much more pliable than we thought we were, flexible. I have a phrase, blessed are the flexible, they shall not be bent out of shape. And so the more flexible you are in conversations and interactions and you're coming and you're going, the more you're able to get along with different types of people. And so in being flexible in this season, I haven't been frustrated or upset. I don't get frustrated or upset on a regular anyway, but I haven't been frustrated about any of the adjustments, maybe frustrated about some of the leadership choices that may be taking place. But overall, I'm not frustrated. My screen is blinking. I don't know if you guys see that. But my screen is blinking, but I haven't been frustrated the way that I perhaps would have been. Okay. Yes. Someone was saying they do not have any distractions. How poignant is that? You know, distractions, think about it. Having distractions really, it stops you from being as productive as you could have been. It forces you to kind of piffle. What do they call it? Piffle. My mom says I'm just piddling around. Sometimes when you have all these distractions, you never really accomplish and get the things done that you should be accomplishing or getting done. And so this person was saying, I do not have as many distractions because, you know, you're not being pulled here or pulled there, and you don't have to make all these commitments. How many of you, because I understand the power of no. I don't have a problem with the power of no. No one had to teach me the power of no. When I'm overcommitted, I'm overcommitted. I got an email via LinkedIn the other day of someone saying, hey, they wanted to do something for kids to go to post-secondary school. And while that is a great cause, my plate is full. And you have to know, even if you have a voice that could be loaned to someone, or you have a sphere of influence that someone else can benefit from. You got to drive in your lane, and you got to make sure you're not overcommitted, because what you could find yourself doing is you're giving out all these little pieces of you, and you're not doing one thing productively. You're not taking care of one aspect of your life. So those, all of those things are very, very important. I'm going to go ahead and start winding down unless some more people have other comments about things they can't live without, things that they can't do without, or things that they have given up, stuff, you know, things that they no longer have to have with them on a daily basis. Or perhaps you've discovered some things about yourself dealing with your children or dealing with your spouse or dealing with your employees. If there isn't any more statements, questions, or comments on that, I'm going to go ahead and close out the show. But before I close out the show, I just want to pray. I want to pray for people, because I believe this platform is one that can be used for medicine. And so I want to pray for our frontline workers, all of our healthcare professionals. I want to pray for those who still have to work in stores, because I'm sure you guys have been hearing, but bus drivers are passing away, people at Walmart. And, you know, I want to pray for them. Someone just chimed in and says, I can't live without praying. Yes, very, very true. And you are a prayer warrior. I know that to be true. So if you would just wherever you are, I'm hoping you're not driving. I'm pretty sure you probably aren't. Oh, let me say that, you know, in the midst of all of this, social distancing and stay at home and quarantine, et cetera, don't forget to notice the good things that are happening. There's less smog in the air. I mean, if I were in California, I'd probably definitely see it, but there's less traffic on the road. There's less accidents taking place because of less traffic. And that means people aren't texting while driving and having accidents. There are a lot of beautiful things taking place. Mothers are spending time with their daughters, and fathers spending time with their sons, and husbands and wives spending time as spouses, and siblings who didn't used to communicate are communicating more, and doggies are getting out more and being taken on a walk. As a matter of fact, I saw a meme where a dog was on a top shelf in the kitchen going, no, you've walked me six times today already. I mean, just all of those things. Don't miss the beauty of these moments, focusing on just the bad, because there are some good things happening in the midst of bad. And that's always the cycle of life. There's always something good brewing underneath the ground. You may not see the bud of it until it blooms, but when seeds are planted, and there are some seeds being planted, less pollution, you know, cut back on things, people and family spending time together, those things are seeds and they can grow. So do not despise small beginnings. Let me say a prayer before we close out. Bless you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus for those that are infected and impacted by this virus, this COVID-19, this coronavirus. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would heal all those that are impacted, affected, that those that are in the hospital beds right now feeling alone and lonely, Lord God, not having someone be able to visit them because their family and their friend and their loved ones can't come to the hospital bedside. We pray in the name of Jesus that you strengthen them and send angels in the form of nurses and LPNs to just look after them in attendance at the hospital, Lord God. And we pray that they would be comforted by just a word of encouragement. It must be so lonely and foreign to have someone dressed from head to toe in gear and not be able to touch your skin for fear of being impacted and affected. So we lift up all those that are sick around the world, Lord God. We lift up our healthcare workers, Lord God, everyone on the front line, from the EMT and the ambulance drivers to the nurses, the doctors, the anesthesiologists, the technicians, and everyone that has to do anything, people drawing blood, nurses assistants, all of them, Lord God, any and everyone that has to be on their post at the hospitals and driving patients to the hospital, and those that are even on call while they're sick doing phone call consultations, Lord God, we lift them up to you. Strengthen them, renew their strength, Lord God, renew their body. Keep them safe, Lord God, from hurt, harm, and danger, and having to recycle masks and PPE, Lord God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you keep them protected. We lift up those, Lord God, that are that are also on the front line in terms of our transportation, our postal workers, those that we our daily functions are being taken care of. We still have water in our pipes and air or gas and things in our homes, Lord God, our groceries. When we run out of food, we're still able to get it. We lift all of those workers up to you, Lord God, and ask you to keep a hedge of protection around them, keep them safe and their families safe, even as they're working for our good, to be able to make sure that we can eat and have the things that we need, the medicines that we need, Lord God, keep them safe. And even our firemen and our policemen, Lord God, just protect them, Lord God. Keep our government, our leaders safe, Father God. We pray in the name of Jesus for all those that have lost loved ones, for the bereaved. We lift them up to you right now, Lord God, knowing that it is unfathomable to know that you've lost someone and you can't even have a ceremony the proper way. Or if you do, they're limiting the amount of people that can come into the funeral home or that can be at the graveyard site. And that must be terrifying and frustrating and extremely disappointing in the midst of losing someone to have to deal with those kinds of parameters, Lord God. So we pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch our bereaved, Lord God, that you would touch our bereaved, those that are bereaved right now in the name of Jesus, that you would make the crooked places straight in their heart and give them a peace that truly surpasses their understanding because they can't understand what's happening, let alone to try to have peace in the midst of this. We lift up all of our pastors and our ministers and evangelists, Lord God, as they've tried to and attempted and succeeded in a lot of ways of doing church differently, Lord God. We pray for them right now. Pray that you continue to speak through them so that they can speak to your people, especially in this dark a time, Lord God. May they shine light. May they continue to be the salt of the earth, Lord God. We lift them up to you. Continue to give them creativity and inspiration to be able to draw people to you, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for the finances of everyone under the sound of my voice and those that aren't, Lord God. We pray for people's finances. We know this is a hard time. A lot of people have lost jobs. A lot of people don't have money coming in. I know that I was booked on a couple of TV shows, and I'm not able to do those. So I'm grateful I can sow my time and talent into my church in this season. But there are some that just don't have that opportunity. So I pray that you stretch the dollars, stretch the bank accounts, Lord God, and keep stay the debt collectors in the name of Jesus, that they might be able to have their needs met, Lord God, have their needs met. I'll be ever so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray and say amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Someone said pollution and crime have definitely been minimized. Everyone is focusing on a common goal, and that is health, family, life, and most importantly, God. Yes, they are. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and let my theme music start off because it's about that time. So you guys be encouraged, be blessed. And again, OMG takes place every Thursday at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And let's go ahead and hear that theme music now. God bless you. Be encouraged.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to, so we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m.